Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Carson Wentz was good. He was good again. I mean, he was good the week before until the very end when it mattered most. But there was no real mattered most in this game.
Really?
Well, the running game was incredible.
Yes, it was. It was an amazing battle between that Colts run game and that vaunted Jets run defense.
The Jets, man.
I'm going home. You guys are mean.
They started all good. It was a nice first 7 minutes of a game.
Yeah, it looked like competitive.
Yeah, it was 7-7. Yeah. Seven. It was like, okay, all right. And then
Mike White got hurt, and then things just changed very quickly.
Yeah, well, the Jets had pinned their hopes to Mike White since the preseason, apparently. But it's true. But actually, Mike White's kind of good.
He's actually good.
He looked good. I mean, he made one or two ill-advised throws when he was in there. But other than that, he was like, oh, okay, they got a nice little backup. He's going to make some money in his future.
The thing about Wentz, see, you're not going to find – we already know he can do what he did last night because we've seen that this year. When it matters most is my question about Wentz. Frank Reich, Colts head coach, of course, had this to say about his quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing a lot of good football this year. He played, had a couple things at the end of the last game. But, I mean, he was flawless today. I mean, he was stinking flawless.
Yeah, he was. Frank is right. The last two minutes of the last game, he looked like a different dude. When you look at where he was at this year, he was 22 or 30, it was like a little bit shy of 300 yards. He got the ball to Michael Pittman in crucial situations in the red zone. He's been doing that all season long. They put him on the move. He just looked like the number two pick of the draft. And I like seeing that sort of, I don't want to call it a redemption story, but sort of kind of like getting back to what they thought you were when they got you.
Well, they can because, I mean, they ran for 260 yards, right? Jonathan Taylor, who was, the man in October, a player of the month in October for the NFL, ran for 172 yards. So when they have that dominant run game, it obviously creates more flexibility for Carson Wentz. And look, you're sitting there understanding what the Titans situation is, understanding that they lost Derrick Henry, and you're looking at the Colts saying, playing this way, granted, against the Jets, it's possible.
Everyone can mess up sometimes. I wonder if when Carson Wentz messes up, is that random? Hey, everyone's going to make some mistakes. Or does that happen when you need it most? Because it was curious how he played so well 2 weeks ago or two games ago. And then when they needed it most, terrible play. We're not going to find that out against the Jets. We will going forward in the season. That was how Week 9 started in the NFL. But this week has been really in the NFL what's gone on off the field. And there is even more breaking news this morning. Ready for this? According to ESPN's Dan Graziano, the Browns and Odell Beckham Jr.'s representatives have this week been working to negotiate an agreement on terms under which they would release Odell Beckham Jr. I know that may not come as a surprise to many people. It looked like that's where it was going. But now Dan Graziano is reporting it. Specifically, the Browns have been seeking financial protection in the event that Odell clears waivers and they're stuck having to pay his salary. Not clear yet if any agreement has been reached. It's possible a deal is close or will happen Friday morning. If and when they do, Odell would be waived.
Waived. That's smart. You should have did that a while ago, right? I mean, should have traded and finding a trade partner, cut a deal, negotiated. They tried that. It didn't work with the New Orleans Saints, but you should have tried some other trade partners. But I think a lot of teams probably felt like eventually you're going to waive him anyway. And if not, you're just stuck with that salary. Will he clear waivers? I don't know if he'll clear waivers, but what he should do and what I would advise him to do if I was his representatives, I had a conversation with his representatives, I would say every team that's in position to get you, I'm not coming until I get to the team that I want to go to. I'm going to sit at home and I'm just going to chill. So don't use it. Don't waste your time. And then you just keep going down the list. And then when you finally get to one of those teams that you think, Raiders, the Rams,
Chiefs.
Those three teams I'm looking at, if I'm OBJ, I'm going Raiders, Rams, Chiefs. I'm looking at that. And I'm saying to myself, good quarterbacks. So I'm going to be okay as far as that goes.
He's never played with a really good quarterback, by the way.
I could also help the receiving core. Yeah, I'm going to look at those three teams.
What's the best team, Key? What would you say the best team would be if you're being OBJ? Here's who I want to play with.
Long term? See, all three of those quarterbacks are long term.
Yeah, I hear you, but best.
Best fit for him to me right now based on I would look at the Raiders, number one, because of the Henry Ruggs situation. They don't have – I mean, they don't have anybody to take the top off of it.
He would get a lot of looks in that offense.
A lot of looks in that offense. Carr's good.
You can see Carr supports his guys,
they're
too.
They're resetting their culture. Like, the time of him coming in is kind of perfect,
actually. That would be good.
Actually.
Kansas City needs another guy. But will Patrick Mahomes all of a sudden go away from Tyreek and Kelce to implement you into the offense and get you enough touches so you can make a difference? And then there's always the Rams and Sean McVay that can utilize him in a lot of different ways. He already has a place in Los Angeles. He's familiar with Southern California.
What could McVay could do with Odell?
You know, you play with that little
receiving core already.
Yeah, you can play with that a little bit.
Oh,
and the Rams are not afraid to make moves, and so I think that that would be a good landing spot. And they're not afraid to pay the money though? Because you got to fit into the $8 million has to fit into somebody's cap structure too.
Although it sounds to me like Odell's going to have to buy his way out a little bit. That's why they're financial protection. So it's it sounds to me like this is going to cost Odell some money to get out of town.
But I'm going to get that money back from the other team.
And also, your prime is so fleeting. While he still has his athletic. The athletic quality, whatever's left of his prime, you don't want to sit on the shelf and waste that. Everything you just said, McVay makes a lot of sense, the Raiders because of Ruggs. But when you said Kelce and Hill,
You got McCole.
Hartman.
Yeah, yep. You got him. I mean, that sounds sexy and good. I'm just saying, like, the best spot for him to excel at the highest level to me would be the Raiders.
Yeah, because he's replacing he will be the primary option target in that offense.
Him and Waller.
Yeah. But just something about the Chiefs. And McVay probably makes the most sense sort of scheming things where you could use Odell can kind of almost like a multi-purpose back out of the backfield. You can use Odell in all kinds of ways, but the thought of him with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. If you're Mahomes, you got to be you look at the Bucks. Bucks had enough already. They added Antonio Brown and Gronk. Right, they already had enough. That's really why they're so ridiculous. They just throw guys at you all day. You add Odell to the Chiefs, it's a problem. Now Hardman is four.
The New England Patriots. The New England Patriots would be a good landing spot for him too. No, it would be.
I wouldn't go there.
No, it'd be a good landing spot for him.
Yeah, Belichick.
They'll know what to do with him.
Belichick
will know what to do with him. But I mean, you're going from Baker Mayfield to Mac Jones.
Yeah, But Belichick will put an emphasis on making sure that Mac Jones gets him the football.
That's fine, all. But I'm looking at those three options. those far surpass the New England Patriots to me. When you look at the Rams, the Chiefs, and the Raiders, like those are far better options.
Odell?
New England's not a bad option, though, Jay.
Yeah,
I agree. New England would not be a bad option.
What's the point? Are you trying to win a Super Bowl, or are you trying to be the primary target?
Odell? But I don't know where New England's going to end up at. Right now, they're sitting on the outside looking in at 4-4.
They could get in the playoffs.
They could get in the playoffs.
We're asking Akee, Jay, and Max on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, which of these teams currently not in the playoffs will end up making the playoffs? Colts, Browns, Bears, or, Jay, Patriots? Be a part of KJM Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call in line 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. So Odell and the Browns have dominated headlines this week for part of the week because there's been a lot of news. The other story.
You don't even know what day you're on.
That's made headlines all week. This is like three
crazy.
Weeks into one.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
He was trying to be slick.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless here on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80. Let's have some straight talk, guys.
Yes, that is correct.
Rob Domofsky said on our show yesterday that the Packers are trying to get Rodgers to have Zoom press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me like Aaron Rodgers before the season wanted the Packers to work on their people skills, the front office, to respect them as a person and, you know, solicit his opinions and certainly don't kick him out of the office when he says, hey, guys, I kind of like this receiver, stuff like that. But, Key, it doesn't seem to me that Rodgers has reciprocated the kind of level of respect that he's looking for them if they know he's not vaccinated. They know what could wind up happening. He obviously wants to keep it under wraps. They're trying to play ball. And they're like, yo, Aaron, could you just wear a mask to the pre-? And he, and no, because that would blow his spot. He doesn't want to do it. He put him in a kind of bad situation, didn't he?
Well, I don't know if they are actively trying to get him to do Zoom or they wanted him to do it and he wanted to do it live. I don't know which
or
way it is.
Or you mean now they're saying, hey, now do it.
Now okay. Maybe uh-huh. It's let's do it now. Now yeah. That the, what is it?
Cat's out of the bag.
Cat's out of the bag. Yeah. Let's do it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say when you go back and you look at the situation from the beginning in training camp when he had his whole ritual, whatever the heck it is, and the NFL did not sign off on his other options that he thought, okay, I get it. They didn't sign off on
it. Herbs and spices.
Yeah, the herbs and spices.
Alternative remedies.
Alternative remedies, all that sort of stuff. Immunized.
Cold pressed juice.
What is it again?
Immunized.
Immunized. Yeah. I get it. Salt and pepper on the forehead. I got it. But the league knew that he was not vaccinated based on them not signing off on it. The Green Bay Packers also knew he wasn't vaccinated because the league didn't sign off on it. Aaron Rodgers also knew he wasn't vaccinated because he's Aaron Rodgers, and he knows the Green Bay Packers knew that the league didn't sign off on it. So you got all three. On top of that, the league is watching all the games every single weekend. Whether you're on the sidelines, whether you're on the field, they all know, Max, what the deal is. And so in the end, they're the ones, in my opinion, all three of them, are guilty.
Yeah, but if there's going to be punishment, it's going to be interesting to see who is the target. Like, hey, you are the one who's supposed to be accountable. Here's Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Green Bay Packers, on if protocols are being followed. Jay, check this out.
Hey, Matt, earlier you said you're 100% confident in following protocols inside the building. Can you explain why Aaron Rodgers would be allowed to be unmasked for those media availabilities?
That's not what I said. I said within our football space, meeting rooms, walk through everything we do in that area. I don't pay attention to the media rules.
So he's masked in those areas. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, you have to be in those areas. On top of masked, that, the extra protection for the organization is there's cameras literally everywhere.
So in the football spaces, he doesn't consider the press conference
a football space. Even though it's probably in the building where they conduct all of their football operations.
Don't we all know what's going to happen? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to receive a slap on the wrist. The team will receive a fine. NFL won't make a big deal of it because they're part of the situation as well. And the Green Bay Packers will move on.
I don't know if it'll be just a slap on the wrist that the Green Bay Packers will move on because in this situation – there's outrage throughout the NFL in terms of other teams and front office people pushing back on whatever the NFL is thinking about doing. They're like, well, what? Y'all just allowing him to do whatever he wants to do. This is reckless behavior. So you got other teams that are now screaming at the NFL.
I hear you, but I mean, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're sitting there saying, okay, like I did this, but like this is also onus on the team. Well, like there's almost fallback. Like there's cover by the team here for Aaron Rodgers.
I think
because the team has allowed him to do that.
Well, they're going to wind up probably snapping some draft picks. If you go back and you listen to Adam Schefter when he was on with us along many other shows on ESPN, he talked about look at some of the other teams that have been penalized for their behavior in these protocols and not following them. And then you go from there. This is more egregious than those.
I think part of the reason that we focus so much on there was Kyrie, now there's Aaron Rodgers, and we agree that Kyrie at least was straightforward about it. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers wasn't. Was the reality is this is a larger societal issue. There's a lot of misinformation around the vaccines. And there's huge, and there was even an anti-vax. I'm not saying everyone who doesn't have it is necessarily anti-vax. Some of them, some people are cautious, some people are whatever.
Yeah.
But there was an anti-vax movement before there was COVID.
Yeah.
And it was based on low information, low quality information, misinformation. And I think that is still so prevalent that when these issues come up, it serves as like a proxy war. For these kind of societal stresses, right? The people who say, come on, everybody, let's get out of this. Everyone get vaccinated. And other people saying, wait a minute, we don't know long-term effects. And, you know, and of course, people who get vaccinated say, you don't know the long-term effects of COVID either, right? That seems like that is going to be worse. But the point is, these things pop up, and now all of our attention focuses on that because of what's happening in a broader way.
So I agree with you. I think Aaron Rodgers will be criticized and he will be beat up in the public court of opinion. But are you guys suggesting that he gets suspended?
Well, I don't know about what they're going to do as far as suspension goes.
Like I don't think they're going to suspend
him. Out of my hands, but I do know that there's other teams and front office executives around the league that don't like what the Green Bay Packers did, and therefore they're going to put the pressure on the NFL to do something. What that something is, I have no idea.
That's what. Well, what I'm asking you is, if you were the NFL, would you suspend Aaron Rodgers?
If the press conference area is indoors, and that rule applies to the press conference area, which to the best of my knowledge it does,
because it's connected to the building,
and he's showing up without a mask, and the team was covering it, all that stuff, I would suspend him at least one game. Okay. At least one game.
Yeah, and it's not even about the facility, Jay. It's about the misleading of Aaron Rodgers.
Here's Rob Domofsky, ESPN Packers reporter, on this show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, yesterday.
They've tried to get him to wear masks in press conferences or do it on Zoom. He has not. The league fully knows that he's been doing this, so why they haven't tried to put a stop to it. And I think Kirk Cousins in Minneapolis might be doing the same thing. I think he's doing his press conferences in person, and he is unvaccinated. He has been public about it. So who the onus is on is probably a little bit on everybody, but if you're the team, I mean, you can't hold a guy down, strap a mask to his face before you send him into the media auditorium. I'm not sure what else you do.
So what do you do with Kirk Cousins?
Well, you don't do anything with Kirk Cousins because Kirk Cousins didn't mislead the league, the team, the fan base. He told everybody, hey, man, I'm not vaccinated.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a mask at the press conference. I'm doing.
No, but they said Kirk Cousins wasn't wearing a mask at times of press conference.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So
I mean, I hear he didn't mislead, but it's still the same situation, essentially.
The misleading part of it is the issue. Maybe the league doesn't care about the press conferences. Maybe they don't care that they don't wear masks in the press conferences. Maybe that's
but
the answer
I would
to
say
it.
I would say that something has to happen with Kirk Cousins too if he's violating a rule knowingly.
I agree.
But the big difference is since Kirk Cousins, and we really are litigating here a gray area, right? Because because Aaron Rodgers clearly misled. I mean,
yeah,
that's obvious, right?
Yeah,
and the
Packers
were part of the cover-up publicly misleading. So when Kirk Cousins is at a press conference, everyone in the room
already
knows he's not vaccinated.
They already know.
When Aaron Rodgers is,
I
think there is a difference
there's
there.
A
even if it's not
there.
In the letter of the law,
fair.
Certainly
yeah,
in the
understood.
Spirit of it, right?
Yeah, because if I know something versus don't know something, it's a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Aaron Rodgers is not the only figure in sports who could be facing discipline.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
I'm sorry, I was laughing during the sports center.
I'm just mad I got to read it. Yours.
First off, OKC has two wins on the season. Both those wins are against the Lakers, like you said.
Preseason.
But when you say AD goes out, Key goes, oh, I can't. Because we talk about AD's always hurt. Like every game he goes down, just stops. And you're like, oh.
You know, I was actually, when I saw that, it's like, uh-oh.
He rips up the paper like that.
Yeah. It's like, but listen, he came back. He played well.
I get it, but I get it. But it's always something.
Well, he's a dude penciling for 60 games a year. He ain't going to play 82 games.
Damn, dude.
That's the way it is.
Melo looked good last night, though.
We cool. Yeah. I'm not worried about that. It's just that AD is just every time, man. It's just always something.
Yeah. But Melo turned into a catch-and-shoot three guy who he wasn't able to do that in Houston, and he really has worked on that part of his game, obviously, and to great effect. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, so that's on the court, guys. The NBA story off the court yesterday was, of course, that Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver is accused of overseeing an organization that many employees have described as toxic and sometimes hostile, a report from ESPN's Baxter Holmes reveals. Holmes interviewed more than 70 former and current Suns employees who have been part of the team throughout Sarver's 17-year tenure. According to the report, Sarver has used racially insensitive and lewd language repeatedly in the office and displayed conduct employees recount as inappropriate and misogynistic. Multiple current and former employees also told ESPN about conduct by other members of the Suns' leadership team they felt contributed to the work environment. While none said Sarver was involved in those incidents, many felt that Sarver's own conduct contributed to a culture that affected how some other managers within the organization treated their employees. As I've said, fish rots from the head down, right? This culture starts at the top, usually. So there's a lot to get into here, guys. What were your first thoughts when you read the article?
So I read through it multiple times, and first off, I have no room in my soul or heart for racism or misogyny. And I still think there is a due diligence process that the NBA has to go through. I've heard as a former player for years about jokes or things that Robert Sarver would say that would be extremely inappropriate. I spoke to multiple people last evening, some people referencing the article, some people not, about their experiences with Robert Sarver. Look, I think where this gets really interesting is, are there facts? Are there actual evidence of these things being done? With Donald Sterling, you had evidence, right? Evidence that everybody could see. Now, 70 people, a lot of people. Out of those 70 people, I wonder what percent of those people claim that it was the way we're talking about it right now, as opposed to what percent of people actually said, hey, I don't know anything about this.
It's a good point.
It's going to
be automatically hear 70 and go, oh, all 70 people said the worst thing that was said.
Yes,
right?
We didn't hear all 70 people saying that. So, look, I still think there's a lot more evidence to come out. I think the evidence that I have from guys like Earl Watson, who coached there, other executives that were anonymous, I don't think there's enough in the article to remove him as an owner from what's in the article. I think we have to see a lot more before we can get to that point. But in the court of public opinion, you will definitely look at Robert Sarver drastically different now than you have before.
You asked when reading the article, what, you know, what did you think? What did you come away with? Well, first thing, my ears pop up. Boom. So as I'm reading it and I'm sitting there and I'm saying, because, you know, obviously being in Los Angeles and being around the Donald Sterling situation because of being in L.A., and it's like, okay, but we know what that is. Donald Sterling had 50 years of issues, right? So we kind of, the video and the whole
deal. He was a slumlord. It goes on and on and on.
On and on. So it's kind of like that was an easy one.
Yeah.
Then when you look at Jerry Richardson, former NFL owner of the Carolina Panthers, having been there, played for him, you could kind of see, oh, okay, this is what it is. So to me, that one was a little bit easy because there was a paper trail from settlements and lawsuits and things of that nature that had taken place at that point in time. This one is a little bit different because it's not as much yet. Right, there's some meat, but we don't know when we get into the bone.
There's a lot of smoke.
There's a lot of, but everybody ain't lying. Everybody can't be lying and making the stories up, right? Some people feel a certain way on how they were handled, whether they were working with him in the past or whether they're current employers. They feel a certain way about how they've been treated. So I think the NBA's investigation and opening up to it certainly would poke holes in what he's in his lawyers and representatives are saying did not happen, because it's going to be there.
Well, okay,
something's going to be there. We just don't know what the something is.
I was just going to say, you know, the NBA made a statement and said the NBA had not received a complaint of misconduct at the Suns organization through any of our processes, including our confidential workplace misconduct hotline or any other correspondence.
That's so, like, true. Let me say one thing about that. I agree. That's a good counter, right? Hey, no, we never got to us ever this entire time. But what I also got from the article, I think that's a very good point, Jay, when you said earlier, we don't know what all 70 people said. We just know that Baxter Holmes spoke to 70 people. But many people, it seems from the article, it's clear that, you know, made similar claims about the behavior. So to Key's point, just like we say about Deshaun Watson, this is not one woman making a claim, he said, she said. This is 23 separate women. And so you start to go, come on, dude. Whatever due process legally is, right, there is the court of public opinion, as you said. Same thing with Sarver. Many people telling you similar things about someone, it's easy in the court of public opinion to convict. When you say the league hadn't gotten a complaint, in the article, was people were afraid in the Suns organization to go to HR.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And I can say that even if we can sit here now and say, well, the league is not the Suns HR, to an employee who is disempowered, all this stuff is about power dynamics, right? Sarver's in charge. To an employee who doesn't have a lot of leverage and doesn't have a lot of power, people don't always distinguish in their mind, well, this authority is with the team, this authority is with the league. They just know, I can't say anything. If I go to, don't go to HR. It under those conditions, people may not go to the league because they know I saw someone try to take this to an authority to correct it, and they got in trouble, or it made it worse for them. So I understand what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying,
but
yeah,
I think there something there. It's a culture.
A lot of times in these situations, people are afraid because they're not at the top of the pecking order. They're at the bottom, and they got to feed their families, and so they can't. Distinguish the difference, like you said, Max, between the NBA's HR or security team and investigators versus the Phoenix Suns HR. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you would have said that to me, I'd have been like, they connected. He gonna talk to him, and they gonna talk to each other. If I go to the league is gonna contact the HR department in Phoenix. They gonna contact the operations department at the top and talk to the president of the team and the general manager. Now I'm going to be in trouble. That's the way I would look at it.
But here's where I get frustrated, because you have one Suns co-owner that told ESPN the level of misogyny and racism is beyond the pale. It's embarrassing as an owner. So it tells me it's not just lower level employees. It's people at the top that have some sort of clout, almost to the same degree as Robert Sarver, that have also been complicit by not reporting this to the NBA hotline.
It's a good point, Jay. Another good point. Yep.
So you say it's rotten from the head down. Man, look, this story is because
the other partner probably doesn't want to say anything because he's a partner. And so he wants to keep his little piece.
But also,
or she
if
wants
someone
to keep
has
her little piece.
I think we all know in life people who can bully others or create a toxic environment. And if you say, yeah, but pin down one specific piece of behavior, maybe not one piece of behavior rises beyond the level where it's just blatant, right? Mm-hmm. But they all come close to it, close to the line, and it's everywhere. That can be a kind of pervasive, toxic feeling where an employee goes, well, do I go to HR, do I go to the league with this?
Do I go to Tom? Tom knows him. I'm not going to go to Sherry because
exactly,
she knows him.
Not exactly, but he really probably shouldn't have said that. That's not a good thing. You know what I mean? And it adds up over time.
I agree. I mean, it's also, it feels like there's a lot of cover.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you take the team away from the guy.
Yeah, no,
but
it just feels like there's a lot of cover. So people are like, he's a racist, right? Because he said N-I-G-G-E-R, right? Like that word in reference to other players that have said it and setting it in a joking way. I don't have any room in my heart for that. Trust me.
Yeah.
I'm not down with that, right?
No.
I'm not.
No, but in other words,
you're saying racism.
Hold on. I just want to make sure. I want to make sure to clarify. The reason you just spelled the N-word was to make a distinction between the ER and the A. Is that why you spelled it out? Because we know you didn't say it. Like, in other words, he is repeating
his claim is that he is
repeating
what other players
what other
said.
Black players are
other
saying.
Black players
but when
have
you
said.
Use ER, that sounds like he is not just repeating, but
so
using
the
word
so
as
the way,
a slur.
I don't know if he repeated ER.
I don't know that either.
I don't know that he repeated.
I don't know
ER.
That either.
I think he just was okay.
Well, can I go ahead?
Yeah.
Can I just say something real quick? Conversation with you and I, Key, real quick. Older guys, have you ever heard them just say the word with the A at the end?
Good point, Jay.
Like, that's something culturally.
You mean
be real?
Oh, you mean older white guys?
Yes, you're going to get the real talk here with this show, right? So, look, I don't condone using the word at all. That's fine. It happens. But I've been around it all my life. It's acceptable to me when I'm with
my
people.
Oh, no, it's not acceptable.
Well, I'm just saying when certain people from where I'm from use it,
if
right,
a player,
when they're talking to each other,
black
I'm not
player
gonna,
uses it, he's
I'm
not going to get canceled,
gonna stop
in other words.
And
oh, you
said,
okay, I see what you
like,
said.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, when we rap McKee, if you want to say it to me, I got to stop
never,
you. Like, yo.
But I ain't never, if I'm having that conversation and the conversation just flowing and I say, man, well, you know.
Yeah.
No, I don't use no ER on the end.
That's fine.
No.
Exactly. You don't.
No.
But like, I see what Jay's going.
So older white guys, though, you would never hear them say the word the way people in our culture would say it, Key. They don't
people
say it like
our,
that. And if they do, you look at them like.
People in our culture do not use the word with the N or ER on the end.
Right.
Yes.
People in rap songs don't use the word with the ER on
but
the end.
But I understand
so
Jay's
don't
point.
Don't start tweeting at us here and saying
Jay,
these
I understand Keith.
And what he tried to say in the article, based on the way that I read it, and maybe I can't read, who knows, is that Draymond Green, his claim is that Draymond Green said it on the court. Draymond Green ain't using the ER.
Right, but wait,
I know damn well that.
Key, I think, Jay, correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is Jay's point. Correct me if I'm wrong. That the player uses it.
Yes.
A black player's not going to get canceled for using the word.
No.
And we'll say, as you said, with an A, right? When Sarver, Jay's interpretation is when Sarver repeated it.
Yes.
Which he shouldn't do in the first place.
He used
with an
ER.
A.
Yes.
He used ER, but not to mean the slur, but it's either a misunderstanding of how to use it or he's trying to be slick by getting to say the word out loud.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. Slick.
Yeah.
Slick. Trying to be slick.
That's Jay's
multiple
interpretation.
People I spoke to last night have heard him say that.
Jay is
with
correct.
The ER.
Jay,
and you're like, whoa, hold on.
Jay
man.
Is correct.
That's not funny.
That's
like,
why the distinction between whether he said A or it doesn't matter.
It doesn't
because
matter.
That's the way
and
he's going to say it.
And,
I got it.
And I've had these many conversations with many of my white friends. In fact, my wife is white, and I've told this story many times. Driving in the car, the music comes on. She's singing alone. Boop, bop, bop, a doo, da, doo, boop, boop. Say, Jen, that ain't, no, baby, we
can't do that.
We're not do.
No.
And she get it, but she rapping alone. So I had to tell her, Max, hey, you know you my wife and all, but you got to slow that down, because that ain't, you know, I understand. You hear the like he said in the article, and I've heard it many times over, how come he can say it, Draymond Green, but I can't say it? Because you can't. That's the end of the conversation.
And you're the damn owner of the team.
Period.
You're an owner of the team.
We hear it all. Trust me. We hear it. And you know, Max, you've been in pop culture. We hear it.
I grew up in New York. Yeah, I called all my life.
We hear it all the time where it's like, well, Jay said it. How come I can't say
right.
it? No, you can't.
But see, now I hate that. I hate it. And I'll get hot about that. I still don't know if that's enough to remove him from ownership from a team.
Right.
No, it's probably – that's what I said when we all first started this conversation.
Or passing around a picture of his wife in a bikini. Well, that's awkward as hell. It's weird. Like, why are you passing me a picture of your wife in a bikini?
Because he's a billionaire and he's awkward.
Yes.
But see, that's another part of this. What I got from the article, too, whatever his personal feelings and it, because you would say – you would think to yourself to be racist and misogynistic, et cetera. That takes a kind of emotional and mental juvenile. You're in an undereducated state, let's put it that way, right? You have some kind of brain damage in that part of your brain. It hasn't been properly developed, basically. But then you also are that out of touch with things that you let it go like that. But I get what Key is saying. What I came away from is whatever his personal feelings are, bigotry is, he's awkward because the money at a certain point isolates people socially and will exacerbate that kind
and
of awkwardness.
And he also wants the power over the people.
In addition, it's complicated.
He wants the power over the people. So when you think about it in the article, it goes on to talk about how he said that he hires black coaches and executives to be able to control the black player. But that ain't necessarily what it is. You want to be able to control the situation. It's not about a black coach being able to control the black player and communicate with the black player, because a white coach could communicate with black players too on every single level. Just because a white guy might be 80 years old, or not even that old, but 65 years old, doesn't necessarily mean that you got to go hire a young black coach and then use the excuse as they can communicate with each other better.
And then even that, to provide cover on that, I can't be a racist. Look what I'm doing diversity-wise in my organization. I'm hiring a lot of black people.
That's all cover.
It's called a muscular move. It does a lot of stuff at the same time. I'll say this for people who are listening, white people who are listening, who may feel sympathetic with, hold on a second. Let me back up. The reaction to PC culture is that people don't like to feel controlled in their private lives or even in social interactions. They think they're human beings. They should be able to express thoughts in a kind of unfettered way, not like handcuffed, right? And so a lot of white people, especially someone like Sarver, I imagine, who owns a team, so he and is around enough, let's call it diversity, he feels in his life that he's a person interacting with people, and he sees what goes on in the conversations that take place and the words that are used, and he thinks, hey, it's okay. I don't want to be controlled, but what I want to explain to people who don't understand, why can't he, is the power dynamic. First of all, we can talk about white privilege. Let's just table that. That's a whole other thing. 400 plus years of systemic abuse versus, hey, there are a couple words you can't really say now. It's a good, hey, white people, you got off on that one. Like, there are a couple words you can't say, leave that alone. But I think that really what we're reacting to is, maybe he didn't understand, maybe he did. He's in a position of power. It's racism is about power dynamics, not just bigotry.
But he knows that. He knows he's in a position of power. And that's what he wants to do, is flex his power.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other thing.
Being able to say, so Larry Fitzgerald is a minority owner. Larry Fitzgerald is black as far as I know, right? We know who Larry Fitzgerald is.
One of the best hands of all time.
One of the best players ever. Yes, you give Larry Fitzgerald a piece of the pie, but that to him is power.
He's a minority owner, so to speak. Literally, yeah.
All of those sort of things. That's the power.
It's crazy, though, because then when you hear guys like Steve Kerr, who has been very open in comments he's made against Donald Trump, you look at his background, being Lebanese, some of the things he's dealt with, speaking up for the Lebanese people,
He backed Robert Sarver yesterday.
But here's what I would say to that, Jay.
And you're like, whoa, oh, wait.
Personal okay. relationship but sometimes.
No, I mean, he had a small minority owner of the Suns team. He sold it a long time ago. Robert Sarver did put him on.
But here's what I would say to Jay. When Max Zubin. Over here said,
oh, no, Zubin,
Max, no, Max over right. here said something about being slick. I may not deal with Steve Kerr the same way I deal with Max. When I'm around Steve Kerr, I already know Steve Kerr ain't going to put up with my BS. Mm-hmm. So I won't even go there around him. That's all I'm
it's
saying.
Not like the Eddie Murphy skit from SNL, Mr. White or Mr. Brown, whatever that was called, where the white people are alone on the bus. He knows when Steve Kerr's there. Well, we're not alone. More Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.